Justin, good morning, man. How is life in the Bourne household? And I, you know, and you can tell why I'm asking, but congratulations. How are you coping with parenthood?
Good, good. We're doing really well. It's you know, the reality is when there are sleepless nights, everything is a little bit harder. And so we are still very much in the early days right now. And you know, the isolation of the whole pandemic thing with the 3.5-year-old as well is a combining factor. So we're a little stressed out, Pinder, let me tell you.
Dude, I hear you. Like it's a form of torture, sleep deprivation. It really, you should have had them both at the same time. I'm telling you, that's the
I
move.
Really did not think this through. Yes.
Yeah, that's the Pinder. That's the Pinder technique. He had two at the same time. Three. That's good spacing. 3 years, you can manage that. But you're still you're now even strength, right? It's kind of a 2-on-2 sort of a thing. I was always told never go shorthanded. I did. I went shorthanded. Still shorthanded. It's a 3-on-2. It's an odd man rush every single day in my household. So, are you
constantly
done?
Constantly chasing the game, eh?
Yeah. Are you done, or are you set to add a full line in the board,
you know,
in the household?
We're very content with the numbers we've got right now. You know, barring something unforeseen, I think we're looking at man on man defense for
Yeah. Well, we sit here and we wait for the National Hockey League. We wait for Major League Baseball. We just wait for sport to come back. The AHL, obviously not a surprise, but you talk about maybe having a taxi squad. That's something you could be looking at. I feel for some of the players in the American Hockey League that you spend all season waiting for the call, just a few more weeks, get to the trade deadline, then maybe I come up. You just wait and you wait, and then obviously something like this happens. It can be probably, I would guess, pretty disheartening for a number of American hockey leaguers who were very close, or at least were on the insinuation that by the time we get close to playoffs, you'll come and be with the big club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, the worst part is that the guys who are really most affected by this are the guys who put in the work and were going to show their best at the end of the season. You know, like during a regular season, it's tough to maintain your strength. It's tough to improve, but there are certain guys who put in the work throughout the year and it doesn't really bear fruit until the end of the season. You see, boy, that guy's a different player than he was at the start of the year. And not to mention NHL teams, as they, you know, sort of fall off, as some of them miss playoffs, get eliminated from playoffs, they start sending more scouts to game. They games turn their attention to the draft. You see more attendance at AHL games from NHL scouts around this time of the year. So they're missing that opportunity. The people who put in the work are being denied the opportunity to show the results. It's just unfortunate. It's no one's fault, of course, but there's some major loss here for some individual careers, no doubt.
And it's hard to sit here and bemoan people's, you know, their career. We heard from Dave Andrews that everyone's contract has been paid. They were paid up. The NHL made sure that everyone was going to be made full. So there are bigger problems in the world. But still, I know Pinder was talking earlier, and Ryan, I guess you can probably elaborate a little bit. But who's getting screwed the most? And you start to think about those teams like Tampa that gave up firsts and gave up a bunch of assets and got themselves. I mean, who do you find falling into that category that, in terms of just the hockey being a takeaway, the real world stuff, who's hurting the most by a potential work stoppage or a cancellation of a season?
Well, I think you look at different tiers here. So certainly there's the people who got tangibly hosed where, you know, they gave up something for a rental player and they're not getting to use the player for the time the player was rented for. So there is we have no doubt that those teams got hosed. Tampa Bay would fall into that category. Then there's the category of, you know, a team like the Bruins who, you know, they lose in game 7 of the Stanley Cup final and put together this incredible season to, you know, be near the top of the league and look poised for a 4 Stanley Cup final for that core, you know, who's won one of their 3 attempts at it in the final. You know, being denied that as those careers go on, the careers of Bergeron, Chara, and Marchand, who are so crucial, you know, pushing them back another season if it doesn't really happen for them this year, that's a big one. And then there's the teams who had the chance to straighten out the complications of the season and say, you know, okay, we've got it together now. We ever knew we had the talent all year, where the Maple Leafs, where the Flames, where the Canucks, we're finally going to show that we can put it together and the games matter, they lose that chance to show that they could get back on square footing.
Chatting with Justin Bourne, Ryan Pinder. Go ahead, buddy.
Thought on draft, what you would like to see done and what you think will happen in terms of date and how things could work.
It's like I'm actually becoming more and more passionate about this. I think a June draft is nonsensical. I think there's this false hope that they're going to get this cheap sugar rush that the NFL got. You know, there's no sports, so everyone's going to tune in. But the NFL is not the NHL, and we do not know who, you know, whoever's slated to be 18th overall is not a star like they are in college football, where they're playing in front of 80,000 people. You know, most of our later round picks are playing overseas or God knows where. So you're not going to have that same attention. I think half the allure of the draft is trades and what can happen and teams making salary cap moves, and we just lose all that. So just a straight-up pick'em draft in June for no reason, I'd love to see what's going to happen first. Let's play with the hockey. Let's get the draft order right. You know, there's a potential for a season that ends and the Stanley Cup is handed out and you move right to the draft and we have some real momentum that the NHL doesn't leave. It's just event, event, event. And I think we're going to rob the league of that by having it early. So I don't think it should happen. I don't think it's good for fairness. I just think there is such false hope that the NHL is going to grab a little cash here and that's going to somehow sustain them through, in the absence of sports here.
You're a big golf guy. We're getting tight on time here, but I just wonder how excited you are. I think the countdown is less than 30 days now from actual planned golf event. And we also have the crazy Manning Brady Tiger Phil matchup. I think that's gonna be great TV.
It is, but like I was saying the other day, like if it was Tiger versus Phil, as it was once before, my pay-per-view dollars are booked. Here's my $30. I will watch them play head-to-head golf. I would love that. Now that it's going to be Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in there and it waters down the actual competition, we have to hear them make dad and uncle jokes. And it's just, it lost its allure for me. So I'm not as thrilled about the Tiger Phil thing. I am pumped for the start of the PGA Tour. I'm also pumped that golf, real golf for us, amateurs, seems to be opening up around the country here slowly. So golf is one bright spot in the sports landscape coming up for sure.
As if you're going to get the time to go golf. Come on. You think that's
happening?
That's
a great point. Well, that was super naive of me. Yeah. I thought that as it came out of my mouth, actually.
Yeah, Justin, just a tip. There will be no golfing anytime soon.
ever again.
Justin Bourne is our guest. SportsnetTheAthletic.com. Sorry, Ryan. I was just we're doing this thing this morning here on the show. Obscure players of your favorite team. Not Jerome Iginla, not Mika Kiprusoff, if you're a Calgary Flames fan. Go a little bit deeper. Who are those guys that you loved for? Ryan, tell him your story about Marcus Nilsson.
So in 2004, for 1 month, I worked at a cheese store for like the Christmas rush. Apparently cheese is a big thing. It was in a very artsy, funky part of town. And Marcus Nilsson, of course, lived there and would come in for cheese every couple days. And that was the year that they just caught fire, went all the way to the Cup final, mostly due to the two names that Dean mentioned earlier. But I can't have Marcus Nilsson not on my team because, you know, I had that bond of going to the register and charging him $12 for a tiny little slice of cheese.
Yeah, that's spectacular. No, so my team would be the Islanders. So Ziggy Palfy is not really off the radar per se, but the name always caught it for me. But also along the names of crazy name New York Islanders that I love is Wade Dublowitz. I always just thought he was just, the masterful poke check to help the Islanders to the playoffs.
Yes.
And my case, when I went to Islanders camp in 07, 08, I walked into the dressing room and there was a guy who was like, hey, locker room's over here, change over there, and like pointing me around. And I thought it was a PR guy because he's like 5'10 and bald. And it was like, oh, that's an NHL goaltender. Wade Dublowitz is like the everyman who made it with the nasty pocheck. So I got some love for Doobie.
He's, I believe, if I'm correct, at least a couple of years ago, running a junior B hockey team in Invermere, British Columbia, the Columbia Valley.
Inferno?
Something. Geez, what is it? I can't believe I'm blanking here. Anyway, he and his brothers, there's like 1,000 Dublowitzes on payroll. It's amazing.
That is unbelievable. I had no idea, but I'm proud. That's a KIJHL, if I'm familiar. That's where I played as a junior. So good for Doobie and crew. That's a nice part of the world. Good for him.
That's great. Yeah, I have a former Islander actually on my and it spawns from him being an Islander. John Tinelli was one of my favorite players.
Oh, yeah.
But he was
good and legitimate. That's not weird enough.
Yeah, probably. As a Flame, I think he played about 50 games. But just the way he was like a Tasmanian devil, right? He would just fly around. It wasn't pretty to watch at times, but, man, he was a ball of hate. Loved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it the Columbia Valley Rockies? We're getting texts just flying in now. People
yeah.
just, yeah,
100%.
There you go. Well, be good, man. Yeah. It's good to talk to you. Take care of the young ones. Take care of the family. Stay positive, and hopefully we get out of this thing soon, and we'll talk about some more real hockey.
For sure. Best to you guys and your families. Hope you guys are doing well, too.
You bet. There he goes. Justin Bourne.